Hi, folks. Sorry about that. Give me one second while I get Joy connected. And I apologize to everyone for what happened on Wednesday. Apparently there was some issues on Blog Talk Radio that we had to deal with the consequences of. So, yeah, give me a sec. Sorry about the wait. And let me just play something for you guys while I'm getting a hold of Joy. Let's see. Hi, folks. welcome to a redo of Wednesday night's show. Tonight we're talking about the court cards.
Again.
Oh yeah. And
yeah, we're doing all the court cards once more because somewhere along the line, about halfway through the show, it all decided to go down. Somebody was doing a denial of service attack on Blog Talk Radio. So. So we've got same court cards. So if you listened in on Wednesday before we went down, it's the same stuff that we're going to be talking about, namely all 16 of the cards. Like I said that Wednesday night, if you're ever wondering what significator you should use for somebody, the court cards are probably going to be it. They tend to have the entire range of the human experience in it. The Robin Wood deck, at least, goes boy, girl, or girl, boy, girl, boy, from youngest to oldest. And a lot of other decks tend to go boy, boy, girl, boy, so the queen is the only female in the court. But Robin was very, very good and used the pages to balance the sexes so that there's two females and two males in it. And I think some other authors, other tarot card authors or makers, have also started doing this. The problem is that the pages, because they're prepubescent, they can be easily mistaken for boys with long hair. And I think that's what actually happens in most cases. I think they were supposed to be princesses of whatever, and then the knights, and then the queens, and then the kings. And people just started mistaking young girls for androgynous boys. So, you know, if that's the case, then I'm glad we're getting it corrected. But, yeah, in each of the four suits, you've got the page, the knight, the queen, and the king. Representing various ages of the human experience. And they, you know, show the entire life cycle, really, from being a young child and being full of wonder and excitement and bouncy energy to being the knight when you're a young adult, somewhere between 16 and 25, when you're going out into the world and just starting to discover yourself and find out who you are and, you know, getting really passionate about causes, jumping into them, you know, working on those causes, going crazy with it and then getting burnt out. And then you have the queen and the king who are contemporaries because that's the way they're supposed to be. But then you have, you know, they're older people. They have gone through the first two phases. They are now at a settled point in their life where they can sit down, they can evaluate things. They have controlled energy rather than exuberance. The pages are very exuberant, very Tigger-like. The knights are extremely focused and very passionate. But the king and queen are very centered, not self-centered, although that is part of it. They are very contained within themselves, and they have controlled and focused energy so that they can focus on their goals and actually accomplish those correctly. So that's the court cards in essence, okay? It's just those four sets of people, but you've got different specializations based on what suit they fall in. Okay, so when you're talking about the Page of Cups, you're talking about a young child who is exceedingly emotional, who is very into spiritual things, who is tends to be quiet, probably an artist, and the same thing with the Knight of Cups. You know, they're very spiritual. They're on spiritual quests. They want to discover themselves. The Child of Water, the Knight of Water, would be somebody that would tend to go to Europe, to backpack through Europe to discover themselves for 2 years or so. With the Page of Pentacles and the Knight of Pentacles, you've got people that are very grounded. They're very down-to-earth. They're practical. I've had people call them practical as a bar of soap, where that's, you know, something that is exceedingly utilitarian. If it isn't something that they can use in their life, they probably don't have it around them. They're also concerned about the finances and keeping an eye on their money. So this would be a child that would save their pennies in a piggy bank until somewhere around 14 they've got enough money from birthdays and holidays and just, you know, dimes and nickels they find on the street to buy a computer. And everybody's going, where the hell did they get the money for that? This is that type of child. With the wands, you have very passionate, very exuberant ones. Remember, wands are fire. So this would be a fire child, fire young adult, somebody who jumps into something full bore. They're raring to go, and, you know, a week later they're burnt out on it, and they're moving on to the next, you know, passion of their life. They are not just going to be a pilot for the Air Force. They're going to be an astronaut. And everything is astronaut, and astronaut, and astronaut, astronaut, until, you know, they get distracted by something else, and then they're going to be a fireman, and they're going to be a fireman, and a fireman, and a fireman, and then they're going to be a doctor. And these are the ones that tend to wear everybody out really quickly. The air children are exactly that. They're very unfocused. They're the ones that tend to have 500 projects going on at one time, and start forgetting things because they're doing so much all at once. The knights especially, the pages, they're contained somewhat simply because they don't have the ability to get out in the world as much as the next three, the knights, the queen, and king. So they have to stay somewhat localized in their, you know, immediate surroundings. So they're very concerned about the ecology of the backyard. And they may worry about the elephants in Africa, but they really can't do anything about that. When you move into the night phase, then you have somebody that actually has the ability to go to those foreign locations and go nuts. Especially with when you're talking about people like the Knight of Swords and the Knight of Wands, okay? They get really, really involved in causes. In the Knight of Swords' case, they get involved in lost causes in a lot of cases. And they tend to get themselves in trouble because of not only that exuberance, but that tendency to leap into a situation before they've actually looked at everything and know what's going on. And once they jump in with both feet, they kind of get stuck. And they can get, you know, in trouble. I would think a Knight of Swords or somebody that identifies as a Knight of Swords would be somebody that would really be the people that would get in trouble the most and have really long-lasting effects on the rest of their life because of what they've done during this time period, the young adult, the teenage life. The Knights of Cups and Pentacles, they're very sedentary, okay? If you know anything about the different ways the elements are seen, the earth and water are both just there, okay? Water does flow, but it flows from the highest elevation to the lowest elevation, okay? So it is always going to flow towards the sea. But once it gets to the sea, it pretty much is just there. It's a big pool of water with the wind, you know, blowing waves when it gets close to the shore. But once you get out into the deep ocean, it's sedentary, if you want to look at it that way. That's not what not stagnant, but it's static, yeah. So they tend to be a lot calmer, a lot more focused on what they want instead of all over the place. Because if you think of fire, it's, you know, burning and it's leaping all over. And if there's something else that it can burn, it jumps to that and goes and burns it, you know. And the wind is always blowing and always moving and always, even if it's just, you know, on a calm, still day, the air is still moving. There's, you know, the whole, wait a second, I got something going on here. All right, let's start this over, because I've got apparently people asking for me in the chat, which is a new thing. There we go. Okay. But yeah, where you have a Knight of Cups, even though it's static, it's still that type of knight is still going to be somebody that has causes, has things that it wants to do, but it is, but they are going to take a little more time to figure out the situation and what's going on, and figure out where they're potentially going to lead. The Knight of Pentacles tends to be the one that has the longest view of things, okay? But they're also the ones that you really don't want to get mad. And if they do get mad, they tend to be the ones that hold the grudges the longest. You know, the forgive and forget is, they'll forgive you readily, but they'll never forget the what you did. And so
yes,
the people
we all know that type.
Yeah. These are the people that grow up into the kings and queens, okay? So don't forget that, you know, everything that you see in the pages and knights, you're going to find in the kings and queens too. It's just that those qualities are going to be tempered with more maturity, okay? So where the Knight of Wands is going to rush into a situation and start fighting, and not really care who's in control or who's right and who's wrong, they're just going to jump in because they know what's going on. You're going to find that same quality in the King of Wands, just not as obvious because he's learned a little caution. He's learned to temper that with some experience and try to actually look at both sides, but he's still going to tend to shoot from the lip first. Just like the King of Swords does the same thing, and you have, you know, the Queen and the of Wands and Swords who also do that. The age ranges, for the pages, it's pretty much the same age area, usually 8 to 10 years old, somewhere in there. Sometimes a very immature tween, upwards to 13. With the knights, you're going from the start of puberty into very young adulthood. So you're talking about up to 22, so about 13 to 22, and that's their age range. The most diversity comes in when you're dealing with the kings and queens. Okay, of the queens, the Queen of Wands tends to be the youngest. She's probably right around 25, just gotten married. Just starting out in life. Then comes the Queen of Cups. She tends to be somewhere right around 28, 29, getting up in years but not old. With the Queen of Swords, that's next. That's somewhere right around 30, 30, 32. And then you have the Queen of Pentacles, who tends to be the oldest. Which is, you know, fine because her husband is the oldest, actually. She's, you know, somebody that's already had children, several of them, in fact. So her fertility is proven, as you will. With the kings, once again, the youngest king is the King of Wands, right around in the same age range. With the King of Cups, you have actually the guy that is next oldest, and the King of Pentacles is actually the next one. So that's reversed. So instead of Swords being next, it would be the King of Pentacles. He's somewhere right around 45 or in that area. The King of Swords is the guy that's actually the oldest, or at least he acts the oldest, because he's always right. He is very, very bossy. But he's also had to do the most actual fighting for his position. So he's got a lot more experience. He's got a lot more maturity. And because of that, he tends to be, you know, somewhere right around the 50th age. Let's see. We've got notes coming in from my wife here, which is... She likes to kibitz here. She says, "Do not be surprised by the air child who stumbles over what is in front of them, but knows that four blocks away an old lady's nice as well as lonely. Air children know without knowing how they know. A fire child must learn forgiveness. They can smolder for years over slights real and imagined. Child of water is the most flexible and the most fragile, the most shaped by their environment." And that's an important point, because water takes on the form of its container. So you have to make sure that you have an environment around them that is both supportive and nurturing in order to help them grow in the way that they need to be. She says the child of earth is more delicate and easily hurt because they're more easily dismissed. They'll be fine, they'll be fine, everyone says, but that may not be the cause. Silence doesn't mean it's all as well. Because the earth is always there, okay? You never think about the earth. The only people that really are concerned with the earth are farmers and environmentalists. And to be honest, those are, you know, very minor portions of our society. But every single one of us are affected by the earth, whether you realize it or not, if only because it's a surface you're walking on. Without earth, you've got nothing. Without Earth and Earth's gravity, you don't have a container for water. You don't have fuel for fire. You don't have something holding the air down so that you can breathe. Everyone is affected by Earth, but it's the most easily and most often overlooked. Go ahead, Brian.
Sorry, I was just kind of wondering, as far as sort of the elemental personalities are concerned, I mean, is there any correlation between, say, like, your particular zodiac sign versus the element that the card represents?
Yeah, it can. I mean, if you're going to do zodiological, using the significator for that zodiological card in the major arcana, that would probably be the best. So if you're going to get a Cancer, you're going to pull out, or let's say a Leo, because I know that one right off the top of my head. If you're going, if you've got a Leo and you're going to use that, you would tend to get the Strength card. But since Leo is a fire sign, I believe, or is that an earth fire sign?
That's fire.
Cardinal or what? You don't know?
Aries is cardinal. I think Leo is the mutable one.
Okay, so as a mutable fire sign, yes, you would try to use one of the fire cards if the strength card didn't work. So if you had somebody that was younger, a mutable fire would be something that can be changed. So if you weren't going to use strength, I would tend to use Page of Wands for that, because that's the fire card, and the children are the most mutable, okay? The stable fire would be probably the King of Wands or the Queen of Wands. I don't know the zodiological representations very well. I know some of them. Leo's the fifth sign. Fixed fire. Okay. So Leo, yeah, and that would make sense. Anyway, we're getting distracted here, and it's too early in the show to go off on tangents yet. We're still dealing.
Well, don't forget, though, it's Saturday. It's a totally different day.
Oh, well, that's
so
right.
Tangents,
so, yeah,
might
we could
totally
just,
be.
We could talk about poker for the whole 2 hours.
Poker is related to tarot. Everything
yes,
is related
to
tarot.
And poker, we wouldn't have poker cards without the tarot cards. Just remember
that's
that.
That's very true, actually.
Literally, because if you remove the pages and turn two of the pages into jokers, you've got Jack, Queen, King of every single one of the suits. So, you know. And so that's where the modern playing card comes from.
Mary, we're going to have to get you on the show at some point. You know that.
Mary, we're going to have to get you on the show at some point. You know that is what he just, what Brian just said. She awaits your pleasure, my lord, is what she said, essentially. anyway, yeah, but Mary's the lady that taught me. So all of my knowledge about tarot, or at least the initial knowledge, and this particular means of teaching that I've been doing over the last 11 shows, came from her, because this is how she taught me that the numbers were related to each other across the suits and not just vertically within the suit, okay? Because when you start looking at it holistically, you start seeing the connections between all of them, okay? Like the connections between the fives and sevens that we found a few episodes ago. And the court cards are interrelated almost incestuously because literally, they are a family. Each one of these is a court of rulers. Okay, they are the rulers of the element that the cards represent. They are the rulers of the cards that are in that suit. Okay, but this is a family structure. You got mom and dad. You've got the older son. You got the younger sister. Okay, and you know, you really don't get any more nuclear family than that, all right? But also keep in mind that every single one of these is ruled by the emperor and empress as well. The empress encapsulates every single one of the queen's tendencies, both old and young, fertility, focus, enthusiasm, strength to keep going, bitchiness, the tendency to get lost in dreams and everything like that. And we've got, you know, and that's all part of the empress. Same thing with the kings and the emperor, okay? Now, for individual personalities, we're going to start with wands. We've got a child who is very enthused, who is someone who tends to be a little scholarly, who is passionate about what they get into, and once again, young. The Knight of Wands would be the knight in shining armor that everybody talks about. He's passionate. He jumps into the fray. He does tend to try to think things through, but he picks up causes and drops them like nobody's business because he still hasn't found what he wants yet. The Queen of Fire, the Queen of Wands, is a blonde, okay? Yeah. She is very much, she knows what she knows without knowing how she knows it, and knows that there is something going on, and when she turns her attention to something, it's almost a laser light focus for however long she happens to have it in her vision. Once she gets distracted, she forgets all about it, and she's on to something else. The King of Wands is a lot like that also. He's very, very focused. He is, you can get his attention, and he's very good at what he does. He's very passionate about it. His biggest weakness is that if you come into a situation and you're talking to him with passion, he'll pick up your passion and start magnifying it back at you, and you'll both get, you know, jumping around and bouncing off the walls and climbing the ceiling and, you know, everything. And then 2 days later from now, when you're still up and you're pumped and you're jumping all over the place, and you come back to him and you say, okay, let's do this, he'll go, do what? Oh, that's right, yeah. And then he'll have to get re-energized again. So let's see. We've got the Pentacles next. As I said, the Page of Pentacles is going to be somebody that will most likely be saving their pennies from the beginning. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard any of Carnegie or Standard Oil. Who was Standard Oil? Rockefeller's childhoods and the childhoods of their children. But their rich parents made them live extremely frugally. They knew where every single penny that they had was at, what it was doing, how much they paid for that piece of candy. If they spent a cent on a whole bunch of licorice whips, they wrote it down in their notebook that they spent that cent so that they could know exactly where all their finances were at, which is how they amassed their fortunes in a lot of ways.
Huh. We have a lot of requests for readings tonight.
Wow.
There's like two callers waiting, and I haven't answered the third one. And then we've got a request in the chat for one.
Oh, my gosh. Four people. Well, we're going to do readings later. That's the second hour, usually.
Yes.
So right now we're doing, we're just talking about the court cards. We're talking about the cards themselves. And I bet you it's because we're on Saturday instead of on Wednesday. Because Wednesdays,
possible.
Everybody came home after work. They're tired. Saturdays, they're browsing Blog Talk, and now they see us in here. so, okay. Knight of Pentacles. Knight of Pentacles is somebody that is slow to get enthused about something, but once he's there, he never forgets it. He is the one, the slow and steady wins the race. He's the turtle out of the tortoise and the hare. He will keep hammering at a problem until it shatters, and he doesn't care. If he has to go at it for 10 years, he's going to go at it for 10 years. If he has to go at it for 5 minutes, he's going to go at it for 5 minutes. However long it takes to get the job done. However, getting him to actually decide to get the job done takes an act of God. Because they're the ones that are... No, think about... Okay. When I think about Earth, I think about Earth dragons, okay, and other animals along those lines that are associated with the Earth, like turtles, like elephants, like lizards, okay? Think about the qualities that these tend to encapsulate, okay? An Earth dragon lays there. He lets you walk on his back. He lets you stand on his eye, okay? He doesn't do anything, but boy, when he shifts his position, cities fall. Because that's what causes the earthquakes, okay? And getting them to move takes forever. You can poke and prod and you know, get them enthused and talk to them, and they'll agree, and they'll, yep, all right. But actually getting them to do something takes forever. But once they start doing it, they keep going. It's like a juggernaut, literally, because that's where that comes from. Getting the juggernaut to start moving took tons of effort. But once it started moving, you couldn't stop it. It just rolled right over everything in its path. That's the Earth person, okay? And that's the Knight of Earth, the Knight of Pentacles. Queen of Pentacles, she's everybody's mom. She settles down. She has her own way of doing things. She is fertile. She's the mother. She's the homemaker in almost every case. But she's also the home manager. Okay, she's the one that's paying the bills. She's the one that is settled enough that she can do what's necessary to keep the family going without making it look like she's doing anything. Okay. She's not scattered. She's not jumping around. She's not yelling at everybody. She's just doing it. From the dishes to mopping the floor to the carpool all over the place, it's just getting done. And it looks like she's taking no effort to do it because she's got her life very managed. Okay. The King of Pentacles, think Bacchus. Either in his wild phase or his settled phase. He's happy. He's jolly. He's Santa Claus. He's sitting there. He's got his hands on his hips. He's, you know, enjoying life. He's enjoying the finer things. Okay? Swords. Swords, like I said, is air. So it's very flighty, very scattered. 500,000 things. and the Page of Swords really does jump into a situation before they've really scoped it out. Okay, they're always running everywhere. They've always got projects that's going on. They are easily distracted from things. They have a chip on their shoulder, a massive one usually, because that's them. They also tend to be ones that have plans for 50 years from now without the first clue of how to get there. And that's very typically an air person. They will, you know, in a million years, they're going to find all of these pieces of metal that are nails that I've thrown down here, and they're going to wonder what they were. And not ever realizing that by standing there and opening up a box of nails and throwing them into the ground, that somebody's going to have to come along behind them and pick all those nails up so that they can use them to build the house. And so, you know, they think about things. They're also the ones that tend to be melancholy for events that have never happened. I had my daughter at one point come to both Mary and I and start talking about when I was the mommy and you were the little girl, which had never happened in this lifetime and hadn't happened in any previous lifetime because this is her first incarnation, which was kind of disturbing because it was like, where did you get this? And she was like six. She was also four when she looked at Mary and said, one day when I'm grown up and you're dead, and then started crying because she couldn't bear thinking about her mother being dead. And it's like, I'm right here. I'm standing in front of you. I'm breathing. I'm alive. I'm not dead. Why are you mourning me already?
So, give me a chance to live a little.
Yeah, pretty much. we're still alive here. Hello. And so, you know, that's the child of air. The Knight of Air is very much the Gru the Wanderer type. Gru the Wanderer is a comic that was done for a little while in the mid-80s by Sergio Arangones, and he's an artist for Mad Magazine. A lot of those little artworks that you find in the margins, that's him. That's his work. And he has a character called Gru the Wanderer, who is dumb as a brick, but strong, fast, and fat. He wanders along, and he will see a fight going on in a field, and he'll go running down into the field, pull both of his swords, and start fighting. Now, he has no idea who these people are. He has no idea what they're fighting for. He has no care as to what the causes are. He doesn't care if he's hitting Group A or Group B. He's just fighting. He's fighting because he enjoys to fight. And that's the Knight of Swords. Okay. One of the mnemonics for him is jumps into fights where angels fear to tread. And that is very much the way the Knight of Swords is. In fact, they've got him in the Robin Wood deck on a Pegasus, so he can go even faster while he's jumping into the middle of the fray. The Queen of Swords is still like that. The problem is that she's learned maturity, and she's learned how to manipulate you. So she is not only a stone-cold bitch, but she knows exactly where to sink the knife to cause the most damage, either verbally or physically. And she can be very, very mean. She can be extremely controlling. But she can also be the greatest protector you ever wanted to find in your life. I tend to see her as a Wolverine more than anything else. Because not Wolverine the X-Man, but the actual animal he's named after. The little bitty badger type thing. Where if you even look like you're thinking about approaching their home, they're attacking. Because there's, you know, children there. And you're not getting anywhere near them. And they not only keep attacking until you are either dead or extremely gone, but they won't let go once they start attacking. So
they
very
are the,
bulldogish.
They're the fiercest pound-for-pound animal in Canada, apparently, actually.
Yeah. Tasmanian Devil is the one, is the Australian version of that. The King of Swords is the ruler and master. He's the one that is most likely to be into BDSM and not as the submissive. sadist, possibly, not necessarily always, but somebody that is very, you can't hurt me, I'm going to hurt you first, I'm going to rip your heart out of your chest while it's still beating, show it to you before you die and consume it in front of you, then dance on your body, throw you in the grave, bury you, salt the ground, make a dancing floor of your grave, and come back every year on the anniversary of my victory just to keep it alive. That's the King of Swords. I mean, he does not hold a grudge. He cherishes the grudge. He hangs on to it. He protects the grudge. He loves the grudge. He feeds it. even after it's long over. Okay? The king and queen, in some decks, in most decks actually, the king and the queen are usually facing opposite directions. In this deck, however, the King of Swords is facing directly towards us. The queen is facing towards the right. And in the way I've got them laid out here, she is actually facing him. In a reading, if you are doing a reading and it's a personal reading or a relationship reading or something along those lines, and you have the king and the queen facing each other, watch the hell out, because they are going at it hammer and tongs. However, if they are back-to-back, this means that you are not going to be able to penetrate anything about them, and they will not only kill you, but they will hound your ancestors into the grave. And descendants, okay? Very protective, overprotective in a lot of ways. Cups and chalices. These guys I tend to find a lot more calming and soothing, okay? I'm an earth sign myself. I'm Capricorn, okay? So I tend to identify really hard with the Queen of Pentacles. However, the cups tend to actually be more of my personality type. Settled, still doing some things, heavy, but very spiritually and emotionally focused. Okay, the Page of Cups is somebody that is, the world is still a new place and it's wondrous. It is fantastic. It is something that should be reveled in, loved, looked at, and explored. In this deck, the page is holding a little cup, and there's a flying fish coming out of the cup. And she's just joyous in this discovery. They tend to be the artists as well. She has a little painter's palette on her belt. And each of the pages in the Robin Wood deck, at least, has a little symbol like that on their belt. With the Page of Swords, it's a telescope. With the Page of Wands, it looks like a pentacle or a scroll, but I bet you it's not. Page of Pentacles. Page of Pentacles has a book. The Page of Wands, on the other hand, has something, and I can't really identify it off the top of my head, so I'm going to cheat and look at the book. If I can find it, which I can't write it now, so I'll look at it in a minute. with the Page of Cups, it's the little artist's palette. The Page of Knights. The Knight of Cups is somebody like a young adult, but with the water aspect, they're still trying to find themselves in a lot of ways. They're the flowing stream, the flowing river, that wanders from here to there to over here, and everything they touch they nourish. they connect a lot of different things together, but they don't stay in any one place. Okay, that's the Knight of Cups. They go a lot of different places. They're not easily distracted. They can actually keep their focus on various items, but they tend to have a lot of projects going on that they do dedicate a lot of time to. Okay, the Queen of Cups. This one is fairly interesting because if you remember, the Cups is also spiritualism. And in this case, she is sitting on her throne near the seaside, looking into her cup that is covered with a veil. Okay, this is showing that she is looking into the spirit world. Because whenever you see veils, that tends to put up a gauzy, blurry background to everything when you look through it. Well, this is exactly what it's like to deal with the spirit world. So Robin mentions that this queen, more than anyone else, is looking into her cup and scrying other locations. She likes to know what's going on. She likes to see what's going on in other locations, not necessarily too much around her immediately. Simply due to the fact that the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence tends to be what she encapsulates. She likes knowing what's going on over there. What's going on here is okay, but it's not as interesting as what's going on there. Okay. The King of Cups has moved beyond that. He is not so much focused on other places. He is very focused on here and now. And he tends to see everything through the lens of what's best for other people. So he is concerned with the emotions of how everybody else is doing, okay? Because that's important. It's important to know that other people are doing well. Okay, I just found the book for Robin, so let's see. Okay, I was looking for the Page of Wands, and I instead started looking at the Page of Cups. So let's see. Drew a bunch of little bells on the end ringing for attention. Let's see. That's bottom of her wand. No. Oh, from it hangs a bundle of firecrackers as a reminder of her personality is a little explosive. So that's the symbol that's on the Page of Wands' belt, is a bunch of firecrackers. Okay? And that perfectly sums her up, too.
That does make sense.
Yeah. So, okay. That's all the court cards. Okay? I mean, they're very straightforward. They're very plain. They're very in your face. They're people in all their glory. Usually, if you get the Queen or the King, you're dealing with somebody that has matured and has grown up. Now, it's not necessarily an age. I've seen very mature 14-year-olds. And in one reading, with the parents' permission, I got the King of Wands to represent this person. And it was really strange because you wouldn't think that that would be them, but this was a very, very mature child. And when I described it, Mom was there going, "Yep, that's her." You just can't do that any other way. That's her. Let's see. Also, okay. When you're using these as significators, you try to tend to match up the age and the sex and the personality type to the person, okay? But if you're going through them and another card jumps out and says, "No, this is me," use that one, okay? Your cards are going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. They're going to tell you which people they represent. And even if it looks like something strange, there was one case that I had the Eight of Swords jump out and slap me in the face and say, "I'm the significator for this person." And it turned out that they were feeling extremely bound up, extremely contained, they had all their choices taken away from them, and that's why they were doing this, asking me to do this reading, because they needed some clarity on it. Okay? Well, that's the Eight of Swords. So don't think that just because you are dealing with a 12-year-old child who is studious and likes to read that you necessarily have to pull out the Page of Pentacles to represent them, okay? Now, this brings up a couple of other questions. We're done for the with the cards for tonight. So set your deck down. We're going to get to the readings in just a little bit. Give me a moment. I'm going to let Brian talk for a little bit while I get something to drink, because I've been talking almost an hour straight here, and I'm dried out. So hang on for a minute, and we'll come back.
I'm going to play a bit of music, actually. Give people some...
Oh, that works. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the ethics of reading for children, okay? So we'll be back in just a few moments, all right?
All righty, folks. Let's see. I'm going to go with... Ooh, tough choice. Sorry, by the way.
Why don't you play that Hearn song that you were going to play last week that you didn't? Because it went down.
Oh, sure. S.J. Tucker. Let's do that. S.J. Tucker. Hymn to Hearn, right here for you.
You can say your prayers, work your right, burn your little candle day and night. You can shimmy till dawn to the pounding drums, but you best be ready when the horn one comes, yeah. If you wake to the sound of a hunting horn, you dance a ring in the gathering storm. If the surface time gets your panties in a wad, just the coming of the horn god. He will call you out, make you sweat, give you a blessing that you'll never forget. Revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Hey. Hunter who tracks outside of time, guardian lord of ancient rhyme. Brother stag in the musky glen, consort of the goddess in a woodland den. We call you forth as we make our way, walking in your power every day. Guide us through in our hunt this night, maybe even later in the great ride. He will call you out, make you sweat, give you a blessing that you'll never forget. So revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one.
Hey folks, welcome back to the show. Apparently, Joy informs me that that mythical woman, Mary, will be joining us on or in the chat room tonight, the one who brought a little more information to our show tonight. So if you've got questions, by all means, you know, poke us right into the chat.
Yeah, especially since I can't always answer the questions in the chat because I'm busy talking. For some reason, I can't seem to talk and type, even though that's my job every night. So as soon as Mary stops looking at all of her other email and joins us on the link, and anyway, yeah, Mary is the lady that taught me. She taught the lady that I was going to when I was confused as a teen by the name of Ruth down in, Mary's got it playing through her speakers now, so I'm hearing myself three times. And she taught our best friend. She taught another lady who's a professional, or another guy who's a professional tarot reader now. It's there. It's going to be there when it loads up. Oh.
Want to bring on that first caller and then get the reading going, right? Or
okay,
shall we do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Hi, caller. Thanks for waiting. Sorry about that. So, what's your name and what would you like to be read for? Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. It's going good.
So, what can we do for you?
I'm always calling in for a reading. My name is Sonia.
Okay.
Glad to meet you.
And what kind of question do you have, hon?
I guess, I mean, anything that you're, you know, picking up that you find significant, but I wanted to know about, I have a financial question, I guess. It's about a property I have to rent.
Okay.
And, you know, it's been vacant for about a month now. The other person left, and I'm trying to, you know, get it rented. So, you know, a few people came by. Some of them, you know, it's not even, you know, worth meeting them because they don't, you know, have a steady job or, you know, you have to meet certain conditions. But, you know, I did do some sprucing up at the place, so I don't know if you saw me, you know, getting that rented, you know, sometime soon.
Okay, well, let's see what the cards are saying here.
Okay.
Actually, I should probably shuffle them a couple more times. Come on, one more time. Okay, so... All right. This is pretty much your dream home, isn't it?
No. I said I have a property for rent. I have my own house, but I have... Yeah, it's a property that I'm renting. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. There's apparently something that... There's something about the property that you don't know yet and that you do need to try to investigate. And the people that are, sorry about that, our windows are open and the ambulance went by.
Okay.
That the people that have the property are not being very clear about. So you need to push them on that to try to figure out what that is.
I'm not sure I'm understanding. Maybe you misunderstood. No, I'm dealing with a property. It's two properties. One is vacant. And one is rented, so the one that's vacant, that's the one I'm trying to rent because the other person left.
Okay, are you trying to rent it for yourself or are you trying to rent it out to others?
No, I'm trying to rent it out to others.
Oh, okay, see, all right, it was a terminology thing. Okay, now I understand. I'm sorry about this. Let's redo this. I was the way it was sounding is you were saying trying to rent, and I was hearing rent for you from somebody
else.
Oh,
okay. No problem.
No, okay. Okay, what I'm seeing about the renting it out is you are going to be able to do this. I mean, I don't know exactly what you're looking for. It will be get rented out. It's going to probably get rented out to the people that absolutely need to have it.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. You are trying to, you're pushing a little hard, I think. I think you need to back off a little bit. Try not to push that rental on everybody, okay? Oh, crud, I don't... This is an incredibly hard reading to do. I'm sorry about this.
Okay.
Let's get a little bit better. Is it really important that this property get rented out? I mean, financially?
Well, yes. I mean, that, you know, I have another home, and I wasn't planning on leaving both properties vacant, you know? So,
okay.
I mean, like I said, it was rented for years, but the other person left, and I didn't realize it was some sprucing up. I've done quite a few things. I'm finishing up some painting, getting the place clean. You know, it's looking really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe that's what held me back initially. But I just don't want it to be too long, far off. I don't know. That's when you saw I got it rented. I can't be like another 2, 3, 4 months without it being vacant. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Within the next 3 months, I am seeing it being rented out. The money will start coming in. You need to be a little careful, because it's possible that until that starts coming in, you're going to make some commitments that you won't be able to cover until it gets rented out. Okay.
Okay.
So be cautious about that. Don't overextend yourself. All right.
Okay.
Because I'm showing, we were talking about the Knight of Swords earlier. He jumps in without really looking. And that's a possibility for you. That's what I'm showing as the ultimate outcome, is that you've overextended yourself. But that can be changed. All right. This is going to sound really strange, and it's not, and I don't mean it that way. But in the, I did another Celtic cross spread here. In the position where it's talking about your greatest help or hindrance, the Five of Pentacles came up, okay? And this is the card of throwing yourself onto into charity, which means it looks like your hindrance right now is that it appears that you're desperate to rent it. And because of that, I think people are going to probably be taking advantage of you. So if you can back off on that a little bit, that'll be a little bit better, okay?
Right, well, actually, I've been going with my gut feeling, and I've had people call me, like they have Section 8. I mean, I could rent it out to them, but I've turned down so many people that,
okay,
you know, have that, and because I already know they're going to be a problem.
Okay.
You know, and I've turned down quite a few, and I just said that, you know, because it didn't feel right. So I am also looking for the right person. I could have rented it, 2 months ago, but that was not going to work.
Okay. I'm going to do a real quick 5-card here as to who would be the right people for you.
Okay.
Give me a moment while I do that. Oh, crud, my program crashed again. So let's get it open again. I love my computer. I love technology so much. It's just so wonderful. All right.
Yes, it
so,
is.
5 cards. Okay, the right kind of person... Well, they're going to be, they're really going to need the property when they come to you.
Okay.
They are going to, justice has come up in this about six times now. So what that's telling me is that this is going to be the right thing to do. Okay, it's not going to be the most financially sound. It's going to be the smart thing. It's going to be the proper thing to do. It's not going to be the smart. Okay, it's not going to be the smart thing. It's going to be the right thing. It's going to give opportunities for new growth for them, okay, and you. And they are going to have a very good long-term idea. Remember I was talking about the Knight of Cups? That came up here as well. Okay, so it's going to be somebody with long-term plans who actually know how to get there, okay? And they are going to have lots of plans for the property, all right? So that's going to be some of the key qualities to keep an eye out for when you do go to rent this, okay?
Right. Because, you know, I don't understand. A lot of, like, people come by this and they're really interested and they're liking it not. And then, you know, then they're like, okay, we want to get this place, we love it, and then I don't hear back from them. So I don't get that, you know?
Yeah. Just listen internally. Some of the banter we've had on previous shows has talked about listening to that internal voice and that internal dialogue and making choices based on what that's telling you. As long as you're honest with yourself and you're not hearing what you want to hear.
Right.
I mean, you can always, when you listen to that internal dialogue, you can always tell when it's something that you're putting there so that you hear it, right?
Right.
Okay. As long as you are able to distinguish between that, where you're putting your thoughts into that internal dialogue, and the actual feeling of, okay, this is right, this is what it's supposed to be, you'll be
okay.
You won't get messed up with that, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. No problem. You have a good day. Thanks very much for calling.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. All right. I think
so we
have
another caller right
Excellent.
Here.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay. What's your name?
My name's Christy.
Okay. And what can I do for you?
Well, I was hoping I could have a reading, just like a little bit maybe of some relationship advice attached.
Okay. All right. That's not a problem.
Awesome.
What do you have anything specific, or do you just want general relationship advice, or what?
Well, I've just been having some, like, we have been having some communication problems, my partner and I. We've been together about 4 years, so the last, like, year and a half to 2 years have been rocky, and we've just really finding it hard to be able to talk to each other and communicate well.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do a general reading for both of you using the Celtic cross. And let's see. Oh, that's interesting. This is a triumph for one of you, but it's also starting again for another. And it's because one of you seeing it as an end point and the other seeing it as a new beginning that most of the conflict is coming from. Let's see. And that's just an internal type thing. It may
right.
not necessarily be something that is discussed between the two of you. Let's see. Yeah, this is a time of turmoil for you guys, isn't it?
It's been really rough.
Okay. And I think that's... Oh, let's see. That's... impulse right now, the reason that it's such a time of turmoil is because, oh, wow, that's interesting. All right. When I get something along these lines where there's one card that says something and I need a little clarification, I usually throw out three more cards.
Mm-hmm.
The one card that I need information on is the Knight of Swords in the present section, okay? And as we were talking about tonight, you know, lots of conflict and everything. And then I did a three card so that I could get a little clarity on that. And I get the Knight of Wands, the Four of Cups, and the Knight of Cups. So we've got somebody that goes barreling in to the fray, tally-ho, and one that is trying to get everything connected together and get your life in order, and a choice between one or the other.
Yeah.
So this is like, that's interesting. That really, that you don't get a little more plain than that. Let me see. Yeah. And I get the impression that you're the water in this and he's the fire. So you're trying to get things settled and get things started on a long-term track. And he's taking it day by day, isn't he?
Well, actually, you have it backwards.
I do.
But
okay.
Yes, but it's pretty, that's pretty accurate. I would definitely have to say, and I definitely have to say I've been barreling kind of into things, and gosh, when you were talking about the Knight of Swords, I almost like reflected, like, am I doing that? Is that me? That might be me. Oh my
well,
God.
You know, the good thing about the Knight of Swords is while it is very violent and it is a very conflicted card, there's a lot of very good qualities that go along with that. It's a willingness to make a decision and stick to it. Because that's one of the big problems with the Knights is they tend to dither around and not fully commit. The Knight of Swords doesn't give a shit. He just goes right in. You know, he makes a decision and he jumps in and he stands by that decision, at least until he gets distracted.
Right.
So, you know, that's a good quality about him. So don't, you know, don't be afraid of that.
Right.
Coming up in the future, y'all are going to need to sit down together and plan out what y'all want to do, where you want to be next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years, and everything like that, okay? Because both of you have a lot of dreams. They're very unfocused, and you don't know which one you actually want to go to. And without being able to decide which one to actually go for, you're not going to go after any of them.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. True.
What's going on internally in your relationship is y'all are settled. Y'all are at the point where it's 20 years in the relationship, you know each other, everything's good, you're just okay, and you're starting to lose sight of each other, okay? What everybody else sees is that y'all are waiting for something to happen, all right? So instead of settling, instead of seeing each other as just a satellite of yourself, always there, always somebody that you can be with that you don't have to think about. Try to pay attention to each other, okay? Remember that the best relationships, when you do them, you're always courting each other, okay? It's not just up until you get married, but you keep courting throughout the relationship, like Mary's and mine. She's brought me flowers for no particular reason, just because I had a bad day. You know,
right.
And
yeah.
That's the type of thing that you need. We've been married, it's going to be 22 years in November, you know, so this is not something that you take for granted, okay? And it's not that you're taking each other for granted, it's just that you're so busy with your own life that you're forgetting that there's another half of your life that you need to pay attention to, okay?
Right, right.
So seek out those opportunities, because, and that's one of the greatest helps in your relationship at this point, is that both of you are always paying attention. Now it's time to start paying attention to each other, too. Okay?
Yeah, definitely. Weird.
Well,
so, work is normal, right? Having to work at it is...
Yeah, oh, God, yes.
Okay.
Working in a relationship, oh, my goodness, you would not believe how normal it is to work at a relationship, okay? I try not to give relationship advice too much, and I'm a liar, and I'm going to get away from electrical stuff before the lightning hits. Yeah, communication and working at the relationship, even after you're in the relationship, is absolutely the only way to keep it together, okay? It's when you start taking people for granted that they start looking at other places and other people to be with, okay?
Definitely.
So as long as you can not keep them interested, but keep their attention with you and keep them paying attention to you as long as while you're paying attention to them, the relationship's going to keep going, okay? But just like if you had a friend that you were in school with and y'all talked every single day for the entire school year and then you went home on summer vacation but never talked during the summer, coming back to school the next year, you have to develop that relationship all over again, don't you?
Right. Yeah.
The same thing with a marriage or a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't know what relationship you're in. I don't really care. It's the same thing, okay? You have to keep talking to each other, interacting with each other, being with each other. When you start getting your own lives and start growing separately, then you start splitting apart. Okay?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I really appreciate that. That was definitely some right on stuff.
No
so
problem.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Have a good evening, all right?
Yeah, you do the same. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, one thing before we take another call I want to mention. I do sell readings on my website. It's davinsjournal.com or aaronsjournal.com. So if you're not on the show, if you want a reading done, go there. It's one of the very first posts. You'll be able to find it. And, you know, I'll be more than happy to do a reading for you guys, too. So, all right, is there anyone else? Let's see.
Sure, yeah.
Mary's typing like a
right
fiend
here
over there.
Hello, Joey. How are you?
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Excellent. What's your name, please?
My name is Shauna.
Hi, Shauna. What can I do for you?
I would like you to look in your cards and maybe you can help me to understand what's going on between me and the person that I was kind of seeing or dating. We are not communicative. I mean, he's not communicative at this time at all.
Okay, you sound really upset. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm not that upset in the real. Maybe just my voice not good. But
oh, okay.
I was just
sounds like you
today had
to keep from crying. Actually,
no, I'm not crying. I just had a headache and I took a nap and I don't know why. Maybe just was not feeling well.
Okay. So let me get these cards shuffled. And you're just trying to find out about the guy that you're in a relationship with?
Yeah, kind of. It's not 100% relationship. We were seeing each other. And for the last several weeks, he was not even communicative.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that one's not telling me anything. Let's see if we can try something else. Okay. What I'm getting here is that this is not making any sense in the context of a relationship for someone that you're dating. Oh, wait a second. All right. Okay. I did a Celtic cross spread, and the very first card that came out, which is usually the main issue, is the Hermit. Okay, and this is somebody that's a truth seeker, somebody that tends to be alone, somebody that is very self-contained, and the crossing on that is the Three of Cups, which is the party card. Now, what this is telling me is that this person, whoever this is on, and it could be you, has started out their life pretty much alone. They've learned to be alone. They enjoy being alone. And now situations where they're having to be social are coming into their life, and it's causing some problems, okay? The Page of Swords came up as the root of this question, okay? And in this case, this is going to tell me that they're... I don't know. I don't know why that one came up there. So let's see. Another three cards. And we've got the Knight of Pentacles, the Page of Wands, and the Two of Cups. And this is... Oh, all right. Things got really intense in the relationship really fast, didn't it?
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say that?
It was kind of very... it was not even 100% relationship, so that's what I was trying to understand, what kind of relationship I can have with this person, and told him, and we had a little talk, and now he's not even talking to me.
Okay.
And if you're saying hermit, I am actually the person who sometimes likes to be alone. Mm-hmm. I enjoy to be alone, but not all the time, just sometimes. Most of the time, definitely, I enjoy time with partners.
Okay.
I'm not a party person, but, you know, if circumstances...
Well, no, that card that doesn't necessarily mean parties and going out. It's being social situation. It's, you know, being with others. It's being part of a group. And enjoying yourself more than anything else. It's not, you know, going out and getting a blind, stinking drunk. It's just, you know, having fun with other people rather than having fun with yourself. So, I'm sorry. This one is really a hard reading to do. I've done five different layouts, and it's not making sense at all. He's not necessarily somebody that goes out and does a lot of social things, is he?
I look at him as more social person than me, so
okay.
I would say he is much more...
Oh, that does... Okay, I'm sorry.
Very social,
I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mary was sitting here. She just mentioned something, and it sort of throws the entire... all of this into more context. He's not somebody that wants a relationship. He's somebody that just wants to be him. And a relationship, everybody seems to want to be in one, so he's figured that he's going to be in one. But it's his terms only. And with that, this reading now makes sense. Okay. He tends to... All right. I've got it. You're trying to read more into the situation than it is, okay? Here's the base of the problem, all right? You are used to the way girls think and used to the, okay, there's one motivation that they're showing me, so there must be 50 other motivations behind the scenes, and now I got to figure out what those are. Okay, except this is a guy. Guys don't do that. Guys are what they show you, and this is him. This is his basic essence, is he is being himself. He is being absolutely open. What he is telling you is what he actually means. There's no hidden motives. There's no anything behind it. Okay, it is what it is. Okay, and right now you've got the opportunity to react to that as you react to what you see and in the relationship with him, or completely mess it up by trying to read too much into the situation, okay? He's not holding any secrets. He's not telling you one thing and actually thinking something else, okay? He is exceedingly shallow, okay? He's about as deep as a pane of glass, all right? So... you need to take some time. You need to go, okay, this is him. This is how he's acting. This is what is going on. And if you can do that, and if you have enough patience to work at the relationship and understand that he is the same person deep inside that he is when he's with you and that he's showing you, you're going to have a wonderful relationship, okay, and one that can last. But, okay, you've really got to understand that he's as deep as a pool of mud, okay?
Joy, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I don't think it applies to him. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. Maybe next time, but I don't
Maybe.
Think
I
that
don't know.
Because he's not a shallow person at all.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye. Huh, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know why that came up so badly.
Maybe the vibe is weird on Saturdays. Maybe Wednesday's a good night. Okay, so next caller wants a reading and had a question for us. So, welcome to the show.
I'm on now?
Yes, you are.
Hi.
All right, cool. Hello.
Hi. What's up?
My name is James.
Hi,
and the host said your name is Lori, but I don't know what the host's name is, so what's your name?
No,
my name is Joy.
It's Joy and Brian.
Oh, Joy.
His name is Brian.
Joy and Brian.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Joy and Brian.
No
worries. Okay. Okay,
what's
so...
Let's
sorry,
go with the reading
first. What did you say, Joy? Okay.
What question do you have, James?
Okay. I've been to college before, but it didn't work out for me. I was just not feeling the classes, and I have motivation issues. And
okay.
So, but I took a break, and I got a job, and I'm gonna go to college in the fall again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could tell me anything about that, any, you know, readings or whatever, how it'll work out.
How this attempt at college is going to work out for you?
Yeah, if it'll work out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm showing that it's going to be all right. I did a 5-card reading. Looking at it overall, I've got the 3 of Swords, I got the 5 of Pentacles, the 6 of Wands, the 2 of Wands, and Strength. Okay, now that's in order. If I was reading it as a timeline, there was a broken heart and a lot of emotional struggle. There was some poverty and some, in the recent past, of not having enough finances. Now you're the victor coming into the city and everybody's cheering. In the near future, there's going to be a choice between the spirit world and the world, the physical world. And then strength is, you know, strength of character. Now, looked at as a yes, no, or a good, bad, we've got 2 negative cards and we've got 3 positive cards. So that's telling me that it's going to be a good outcome, but there's going to be some struggle. There's going to be some problems.
Okay.
You know, just like with any situation you find yourself in, you're going to have to make hard decisions at times. And, you know, all you can do is you can just make the best decision for you at the time and deal with the consequences. Okay?
Okay. That whole...
I mean, it's just...
I'm sorry. Okay. that whole spirit world and material world thing speaks to me really well because over the past year I've gotten more and more into spiritual aspects of my life.
Okay.
And, like, I really feel like that's something I'm going to delve into even more as I go along. So.
Okay. Well, more than that, the 2 of Rods is, yes, that's usually a choice between it can be sacred and profane. It can be your emotional, intelligent, analytical world or the practical, down-to-earth parts of it. So,
right.
You know, yeah, don't read the spirit world into that. Now, I can do something specific for that. Let's see.
What do you mean?
Well, a second reading with you delving into, James delving into spiritual life.
Well,
and
only if there's time. I don't want to take up other callers' times or anything.
There's
how many
plenty
callers
of
do we have?
Callers right now.
Okay,
not
we
right
don't have
now,
any callers.
So you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
All right. We've got the Magician, the Eight of Swords, the Four of Cups, the Nine of Swords, and Temperance. Okay, so looked at as yes and no, we've got two negative cards and three positive cards. So dealing with a spiritual world thing, we've got, why are you so worried about it? When thinking about the spiritual life, God, paganism, whatever it is, emotional life, you're worried about it, and you feel like you've got no choice.
I don't know about the choice thing, but I'll tell you why I'm worried about it, because even though I've been into this spiritual stuff for about a year, I've been kind of hesitant to jump into it because, I don't know, I feel like I lack the dedication to be effective at it. I believe it. I believe it's real. It's just that, like magic and tarot reading and stuff like that, I just feel like I lack the motivation to stick with it because everything else that I've ever loved in my life, I'm just, like, really bad at sticking with it. I'll pick it up and then I'll put it down, you know?
Okay, and that's where the no choice comes in. You feeling like you aren't going to be able to continue through it, that's represented in the Eight of Swords, okay? Eight swords around a lady who's all tied up and blindfolded while the tide is coming in, okay? And you
right.
think that that's part of your personality, that you're going to pick something up and then drop it later, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now that it's not. This is
okay.
The Four of Cups represents a choice, once again, between what you have and what you could have, okay? Because there's three physical cups. There's one cup that's floating in the air, okay? This can also be a choice between the mundane and the spiritual. But it's a choice. It's a choice that you make and that you have, and this is the opportunity for you to do what you want. Now, I'm going to warn you about something, okay? You have two extremes here. You have the extreme where you can be what you envision you could be when you were, I'm getting 12 years old, okay, where you can be the magician, the sorcerer supreme, the magician's apprentice, whatever like that, okay? But you are going to have to learn to juggle a whole lot of things all at once, okay? The Temperance card
right.
has an angel who's juggling three balls, got one hand, one foot on the land, one foot in the water, okay? So you're going to have to learn how to be that, and you're going to have to learn how to do a whole lot of things all at once, okay? Especially if you're going to be doing this during college. That's going to be,
right.
I mean, college is intense enough as it is because you're taking in a whole lot of new information, and then you add pagan
mm-hmm.
studies on top of that, which, you know, they teach doctorates on this stuff. And it's not just one doctorate. There's like 60 or 70 different doctorates that you can get related to paganism, okay? So you're talking about taking in college education and delving into all of this all at once, all right?
Right.
You're going to have to sit down and you're going to have to make a soul-deep commitment to following through on this, okay?
Okay.
You can do it. You really can, but you are going to have to convince yourself that you can do it and that you will do it, all right? It's not
okay.
enough to know that you can do it. It's not enough to start doing it. You're going to have to say, okay, I am going to start it. I am going to follow through with it, and I am going to keep going, and that's what you need to do, okay?
Okay, I will.
Well, and
hey, don't be afraid of it,
James. Just
yeah,
curiosity,
I mean, I really. Okay, go ahead.
So, sorry. I was just curious,
no,
like,
okay.
what kind of things are you, like, wanting to delve into?
Well,
I'm
curious.
Really, I mean,
well, that's fine. I like magic in general, specifically chaos magic, because it's so open. Like, it has a lot of options. If you're, are you familiar with chaos magic?
Yeah.
Oh God.
A bit.
Okay.
You gotta understand.
Okay.
Brian and I talk on Tumblr a lot, and I was talking with him like yesterday about chaos magic. So yes, I'm very familiar with it.
Okay, that's good to hear. So yeah, I mean, I wanna jump into that, and then I wanna get really good at meditation, and I wanna be able to control my mind basically, because I have a lot of habits that I do, just like a lot, and I really wanna get out of that because it hinders me, and you know.
Yeah, my first suggestion then is probably focus on the meditation for now, because it will allow you to develop that self-control and that ability to sort of recognize and address your habits one at a time, because if you jump into chaos magic at the same time, you're going to overwhelm yourself and you're going to lose track and, you know, get distracted and suddenly, like, it'll basically just be like tossing the deck of cards up and going, screw this, I can't do this. So go for the meditation first. Take your time with that, especially when you start school. Allow it to be part of your day. You know, maybe if it works better for you, do it in the morning. But if that doesn't work, then do it just, you know, late evening after dinner maybe. So that you can sort of allow yourself the freedom to just let go. Once you've learned how to deal with, you know, your particular issues, then I would suggest maybe stepping into the chaos magic, but don't dive straight into that first.
Right,
so
okay.
Chaos magic, remember, chaos magic is pretty much the catch-all category of magic.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to be familiar with the Key of Solomon. You have to be familiar with the OTO. Magical system, the Golden Dawn system, the Kabbalah system, witchcraft, green magic, low magic, ceremonial magic.
Pretty much everything.
You have to be familiar with all of that in order to combine it into the stew that is chaos magic, okay?
Right.
So you're talking about, you know, 15 different disciplines that you need to be very familiar with in order to, you know, apply all of that. So, yeah, the meditation I would advise first. And that will help you with the studies with the college. Once you get that down and get that self-discipline down, then you can get the habits eliminated, because that will follow next. Okay.
All right.
And then start rolling in various other aspects of pagan practice, of magic practice, and learn about those. And then start combining them on the back end into your own practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
Definitely. And if you find yourself, it will really help you too if you get familiar with like various mythologies. So, you know, that's something that you can kind of casually look into over the course of time.
Right.
Like, the pantheon you're probably most familiar with through school was probably the Greek pantheon, if your education was fine. So, I mean, that's a great place to start. And, yeah, I mean, if you look into the Indo-European cultures, your Norse gods, your Hindu gods, etc., you're going to find a lot of comparative deities in those pantheons. So you'll be able to get familiar with a lot of different gods and systems just from a familiarity with Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I actually really like some of the gods and goddesses I've heard of in the Hindu mythology, so I really want to look into that some more too.
Totally understand that, because I'm very into Shiva right now, and
Shiva
Krishna
is really cool.
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to have someone that you can talk to, you can always email me, and you know, I'll be happy to sort of be there if you want to talk about stuff or
get ideas.
What's that?
Where can I get your email address?
It would be woodwose.radio@yahoo.ca, spelled the way it is on the show. If you're looking at the chat right now...
I'm not. I don't even know how to get to the chat.
Okay.
Is it on that internet page that was there? Or?
Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio/Woodwose. WOOTWOSE.
I'm going to go back
to the computer.
Well, do you have a pencil or something? I can always just tell you the email address.
Yeah, sure. Give me a sec.
Yeah, and I've got Aaron's Journal has a lot of information on it, too, if you want to go look at that.
Okay, Woodwose.
Woodwose, WOODWOSE.
Yeah.
radio@yahoo.ca.
Okay. Yahoo.ca.
Yeah, Brian's Canadian.
Yeah, he's
Joy's
he's
American.
He's in Canada.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, I mean, if you want some encouragement or support or any of that sort of stuff, we're both available. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Joy. All
right, cool.
Yeah, and we like talking about it. I mean,
yes, we do. We can go on for hours about random stuff.
Oh yes.
Can I get Joy's email too?
If that's okay. Joy.a.philip, two L's, no S, @gmail.com.
Joy.a.philip, two L's, no
mm-hmm.
S.
Correct. @gmail.com.
Okay.
And.
All right.
James, when
cool.
you called originally, you were asking about divination systems.
Yes.
Is there a particular one you're drawn to right now that you kind of are interested in getting to know?
Well, I actually just
dabbled
got a tarot
in, like,
card.
Okay.
What have you dabbled in?
Well, I've used, like, runes. I'm sort of dabbling in Ogham right now and, you know, tarot and different stuff. I've tried the
What's
Ogham? Stuff too.
Ogham
it would
is
be
the druidic
Celtic
system
approach.
Of...
it...
We're talking to two druids here, okay? The Ogham is
okay.
the druidic system of divination. It was a script like the alphabet that they used that was adapted into a divinatory system. It's a lot
okay.
like the Norse Germanic runes, but instead of... The Norse Germanic started out as a divination magical system and turned into a written script. The Ogham was the opposite. It started out as a written script that was adapted into a divinatory script.
That's cool.
Not to overwhelm you, of course, but yeah. basically, it's another kind of rune system that, you know, it's got some really different kind of characters as opposed to the letter-looking runes that the Norse runes represent. It's like basically slashes on a line kind of thing. So,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something you'll probably have seen around, but
I've seen it.
You just go like, hey, I can kind of read that, like you would with the Norse rune.
Right, I have no idea what it is, but I've seen it, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Most of the Ogham scripts you're going to find are things like Cathbar makes good combs and advertisements and stuff like that, but they adapted it into a divinatory script. I mean, I think it was Graves that did that, wasn't it?
Yeah, in his book, The White Goddess, probably is where it originated. not that we're trying to overwhelm you with random information, but, you know, what deck did you decide on when you chose your tarot deck?
Rider-Waite.
Okay, that's a good start.
It's a good one to start with.
Yeah.
And then
definitely.
I was really, I chose between that and the Crowley Thoth deck.
Well, I'm glad you chose
sure
the Rider-Waite.
you know various opinions that have come up about the two decks Personally, just to sum it up, in my opinion, Rider-Waite's easier to deal with, especially for a beginner. The Thoth deck, it's got some really vibrant art. I will give it that. But
yeah,
the switch between the strength and I want to say justice card.
Yes.
In the two decks, it can be kind of weird because a lot of the Rider-Waite based decks have it, you know, where strength is 8 and justice is 11, whereas, you know, the Thoth deck reverses those two, so it can be kind of confusing when you're trying to study as a new person.
Right.
Choose one or the other. Don't switch between them when you're starting out, because it'll just really mess you up.
Yeah. I figure I'm just going to stick with this one, and once I've got it figured out and I become a little more experienced, I can move on to Thoth, because I really like that one, too, the way it looked.
Yeah. Well, good help will be to go back and download all the other episodes and listen to them, and tune in next week, too, or this coming Wednesday. Anyway, James, we need to let you go because we're coming up on the end of the show, and there's a few other things we need to talk about, okay?
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Nice talking
to
you, James. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now that we're back to our regular scheduled programming, next week, instead of talking about cards, what we're going to talk about is readings and how to tie them together. So what we're going to do is I am going to be here in my house and do a spread, a test reading. And I'm going to tell you guys all of the cards that I have laid out and where they are, okay? And in that, and then Brian and I are going to talk for a little while about various things, who knows what, tune in to find what out what insanity we're dealing with today. And after about 10 minutes or so, once you had time to find those cards and lay them out, I'm going to do the reading as I see it and show you how they're relating to each other and explain my thought processes and everything like that, to give you all test readings so that you can see how these cards interact with each other and how to bring them together in a unified reading. Okay, we're probably going to start out with just the standard Celtic cross spread. I'm probably going to wind up doing two of those, and we'll go through them. Remember that I deal it one in the center, two crossing, three to the south, four to the west, five to the north, six to the east, which is in the future, and then seven, eight, nine, and ten are bottom to top on the right-hand side of the eastern card, okay? So we'll go over this again next week, but I wanted to let y'all know so that you could have your decks, you could have them sorted so that you can find the cards quickly and easily, and so that you can lay them out, okay? And give y'all a little view of what we're going to do again next week.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting thing to be able to read the same reading together.
Yes, and it should be interesting. And it doesn't matter, once again, it doesn't matter what deck you're using. I mean, all decks ultimately are using the same symbolism, but the tone of the deck is important. The way that the nuances are going to be important as well, okay? So just like between the Rider-Waite deck and the Thoth deck, yes, the Justice and Strength cards are swapped so that Strength is card number 11 in the Thoth deck. But ultimately, when you do a reading, that's immaterial. If Strength is supposed to come up, it's going to come up whether it's 11 or 6.
This is true.
And you would just interpret it the same way as you would depending. The only difference is when you start talking about the overall Fool's journey through the Major Arcana, and how he encounters things, or if you're talking about a holistic reading with adding numerology in, okay, because then it becomes important. The
11
means one thing in numerology, and it means something totally different if you move it to another position.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, too, like, it's not really a huge issue until you start really delving into the sort of esoteric stuff dealing with the major arcana. You know, any of your books that deal with, like, tarot and the Kabbalah, or tarot and, I don't know, aquarium
numerology,
fish or whatever, is going to have particulars that they want you to sort of look at. And certain decks will fit that method of reasoning or whatever versus other decks that won't.
Right. And when you're just using the tarot as a divinatory tool, a lot of this doesn't matter. It's when you start using it as a magical tool and start using it more in spells or with communications with other entities, then it starts becoming important. The tone of the deck becomes important. The artwork on the deck becomes important. All the little nuanced things become very important. So as long as it's just a divination, you know, you can pretty much interchange the decks as far as artwork. If it reads for you, it reads for you, and it's going to read for you. If you're doing a Celtic cross, whether it's the Thoth deck, the Housewives deck, the Hello Kitty deck, the Robin Wood deck, or the standard Rider-Waite, okay? But if you're trying to contact Cthulhu, you probably don't want to have the Hello Kitty deck.
Well, unless I don't know. I've seen, actually, why do I think I've seen, like, a Hello Kitty version of Cthulhu?
Because you have.
I'm pretty sure I did.
Poke-Thulu. It's called Poke-Thulu, and they have Hello Kitty characters in a gaming system for Call of Cthulhu. And it's funny, because Hello Kitty is green and has tentacles growing out of her mouth.
It's awesome.
See, it is.
Cthulhu is
You've
one of my favorite weird mythologies. But yeah, definitely, like, if you are interested in the sort of esoteric stuff that deals with tarot, there's a few great books that I'm sort of looking into, but I need to sort of rotate the deck in my mind, because it's based on the other system where, you know, strength and justice are switched, so I'm like, oh, no. And, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of really good ones, just if you're curious, listeners, by Semael Onveor, available through Glorian Publishing. You can find them as Kindle books on Amazon, or you can buy the physical books. But they use that sort of 8 is justice, 11 is strength thing, so if you're not familiar with that, avoid those books for a while.
Yeah. If you do decide to delve into the divination study, 78 Degrees of Wisdom, there's 2 books in it. The first one is about the major arcana. The second deals with the minor arcana, the court cards, and readings. Pick them up. They're outstanding books. If you're dealing with the magic of the tarot, tarot spells is a wonderful book to pick up. unfortunately, most of the books out there that deal with dealing with the tarot in spells give you formulas. Do this, lay this card out, visualize this, push these together, and this will happen.
Instead of giving broad principles for the cards, yeah.
Right, exactly. I would rather see a book that would give theory. And
you would rather write the book yourself.
Yeah, unfortunately, I keep getting kicked in the head to do this, and I'm I'm one of those people that's like, no, no, not me, no, la 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 la. Okay, fine, whatever. Gosh, so I'm probably going to have to wind up doing that though. But yes, spellcraft with tarot cards is just like spellcraft with any other item. It's all in the symbolism and what means what to you. The one thing that I keep saying is that you don't have the dream books that are out there are pretty much useless because they give good symbolism for about 60% of humanity. If you see a dog in your dream and then go to one of the dream interpretation books, it's going to say, oh, this is a loyal companion. Well, if you were attacked by a dog when you were four and traumatized, a loyal companion is not going to be a dog. That's going to be a horrifying monster. So you can only interpret the symbols in relation to what they mean to you, ultimately. And you can't rely on somebody else's interpretation of those symbols for you. So that's something that y'all always want to keep in mind when you're dealing with tarot or any other kind of symbol-based magical practice.
Definitely. We have a couple minutes left of the show, so I think we'll probably sort of say goodnight, you know, that sort of thing. You caught our email addresses during the show. If you were listening,
and
we did repeat them.
I gave out my website address a couple of times. Brian's got a Facebook page for this particular show, I believe.
Yes. Check it out. It's Woodwose Radio. It's probably searchable on Facebook. Liking it is always good because it makes us look really popular. But, yeah, join us for our regularly scheduled program on Wednesday night, same time, because we rescheduled because of the problems we had last Wednesday, but we've moved on, and no more problems next Wednesday.
Let's hope. Keep our fingers crossed. Okay, I am going to go crash because I am exhausted. Y'all,
all right. Have a great night. Have a good
Thanks
night, folks.
Thanks for everybody
Thank
that called in.
Us.
All right.
Yeah,
bye.
Really. Bye, folks.